Hey, Pants People. Just wanted to take a brief moment before the episode to say thanks for listening and thanks for being our friends. Enjoy.
Had publicly stated that Tythos had never been destroyed. Footage of a briefly returned Zebulon seemed to corroborate this argument. Since then, Atosh has made very clear that his findings were not at fault, and that some other explanation must have led Zebulon to an incorrect assumption. After all, the fall of the Sapphire aside, many witnesses saw the storm over the city growing in power and nearly ready to tear the very towers of Cerule apart in its fury. Still, the fires have been lit in the souls of the public, and many theories have come forth around the truth behind the Tythos tragedy. Though with the hopes that these theories bring, there is also a deep-seated fear. For if Tythos had indeed survived the storm, so did the Storm Eye who brought its fall. Ever since the aforementioned interview, sightings of Ozan Yoshikatu have been rumored across all our worlds. I should say that none of these have been proven true, and many have been proven false, a result of a panicked public. In the wake of this, I need to mention that Atosh, as well as the speakers of the ancestors, have not changed their opinions on the matter. Ozan Yoshikatu is gone, and he ain't ever coming back.
But I've got his letter.
That was before all that. He's gone. He's gone. Got that letter. Means nothing.
But why would the narrator bring up a letter if he's gone?
Because the narrator doesn't give a shit. It's early today. I was over there. I was listening to a YouTube I really like, and they were plugging in the video their tabletop podcast. And I had the thought like, oh, cool. Yeah, but there's no way I could listen to another tabletop podcast. And then that just broke my heart. And I'm really sad because suddenly it hit me. I was like, oh no. Oh no. I live and breathe this. And even I'm like, oh, there's too many.
Day, every day.
There's been too many for too long.
Oh, it hurts. It hurts to admit. Like, you know, it's just, but hey, we're doing it.
You know what the special part is about Fantasy Pants?
What's that?
We have friends like Meg from The Hungry Familiar.
Ooh.
And Meg wanted to ask us a question, but she didn't get it in time for Unzipped.
Well, she has to wait till the next one. Sorry, Meg.
No.
Some friend you are.
Nope. Not happening. We're doing it now. It's a mini zip.
It's a mini zip. I like it. All right, half down, gentlemen.
I have a zipper this time. I'm not wearing pajama pants.
Okay.
We did it.
Meg wants to know, what's the best way to make eggs? And bonus, can you crack an egg one-handed?
Ooh.
Ooh. Crack an egg one-handed. All right, let me just step out here real quick.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I can crack an egg one hand with both hands. I can go through a case.
Both hands tied behind your back?
Yeah, that too. Yeah, no, I can. I've done this for a long time. Eggs are my specialty. They were. I'm a little rusty now because I don't do a breakfast these days. Yeah. But I used to be breakfast, prep, cook all the time. That was kind of my jam. I've been cracking eggs with two hands since I was a wee lad of nine.
Damn.
Yeah, baby. As far as best way to make them, now I like to make omelets because they're fun to make. But as far as eating them, I'm an over easy guy.
Okay.
You know?
Over easy.
Get that yolk.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you make it?
Make an over easy?
How do you make it?
What do you mean?
How do you make it?
You fry it. You just fry it, flip it, and boom.
Okay.
It's an over easy.
A little butter in there, or are you an oil guy?
I like butter. I like butter on eggs. Oil, yep. Yeah, you know. And I like to, you know what? I'm a crazy man. I flip my eggs in the pan like an omelet when I do over easies. They never break.
Yeah, because you're a pro.
I'm a genius.
Because you're a pro.
Yeah, baby.
All right.
Give me your lame answer.
I'm a few steps down from David.
In all things.
in egg cooking things, at least.
Sure.
I can crack an egg with one hand, but I go so slow and I get so many eggshells in there that it's just not really worth it for me to do it that way. I don't have that much practice.
Mm.
The way I like to cook eggs is I like to do... sort of like a frittata, like a bake sort of thing. I do this most weeks for breakfast. I'll crack like 6 eggs, put it in a square, sort of like a pie plate. You know, put some veggies in there, some bacon or sausage in there, and bake that bad boy for 25 minutes. Cut it into 4 squares, and then I've got breakfast 4 out of 5 days for the week. So I just got to scavenge for 1.
Nice.
That's my way.
All right. Not bad.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Not bad.
All right.
What do you got, Jeremy?
I use butter and crack it into the pan.
One-handed, two-handed?
Two-handed.
Okay. All right.
Two-handed. I ain't got time to practice that shit. and then I put a lid on it because that helps it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're a sunny man.
Yeah, but with like a little layer over it.
A pink sunny.
It's a little, yeah. It's a little foggy.
Yeah, 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 I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Sunny with a side of mist.
It's like sunny, but without the boogers.
That's how they make. That's how they make eggs in Silent Hill.
What?
Huh?
Everything's a little.
Oh, I get it. That fucking shit, dude. Fuck. All right. That's it. We're gonna end off with that. That's our.
Hey, opener. Man, Silent Hill's good stuff. Those games were terrifying. I'm not... Everybody, when I was a kid, everybody was playing Resident Evil, and me and my brother were sitting there playing Silent Hill. I think Silent Hill was scarier than Resident Evil.
I am a coward, and I don't play horror games. Mm. I played Metroid Prime on the GameCube, and I like walked away. It was too scary. I had to come back when I was like 5 years older.
Yeah, I played Mario and Donkey Kong until PS3.
Too scary. Nice. Too scary. Can't do that.
Yeah, that is an angry donkey.
Oh, Steve is on fire tonight.
Much like your eggs, you hack.
Oh, shit. Okay. Guys, we are in the midst of a complicated situation. Let me get some Fantasy Plus going here.
Give me that sound.
Loved it last ep. Gonna love it this ep. My song's picked out for the next 2 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
We got here. Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
That's a mood right there.
Allow me to recontextualize, really explain our situation, because in the chaos, you've gathered a little more intel, you've learned as we're pushing forward in time. Earlier this evening, while the Golden Bay tourney at the Tidepool Arena was at hand, Sahuagin, and I hate that, so there's
really?
Sahuagin. I think so. The D&D Beyond little voice guy said, Sahuagin. And I was like, no, you're wrong. You're official, but you're wrong.
How are we going to say it?
Sahuagin. I don't care.
Sahuagin?
I like that.
Sahuagin. Sahuagin.
I like that.
Anyway, Sahuagin.
Fish people.
Sharkos. Where was I? While the tourney was at hand, Sahuagin forces suddenly attacked the 8th pool deep in the turtle's territory. They moved, it seems, through the forests and like thick marsh, avoiding river patrols, then assaulted the eastmost village of the 8th pool in an attempt to kidnap as many sacrifices as they could. You know, that's their whole goal. They attack the turtles so they can take turtles back. They want to impale them upon the teeth of their god, the Maw of Garniax, this dead giant sort of mouth that lingers at the very bottom of their sort of their territory in the deep sea. They want to drive turtles onto the teeth and let them bleed out into the maw, because they believe if they feed their god enough, this thing will come back to life and lead them to triumph over all of Nuari. So that was their goal when they attacked the 8th pool. However, the shell guard was quick to react to this, not caught as off guard as the Zahuagin expected. Perhaps, Blanche, you had already kind of set some extra patrols out there thinking this might happen. They are crafty. They might have, they knew about the tourney. They might have gone, used this opportunity to attack the sort of back ranks. And so, Master of Offense, Galt Shavok, rallied the nearby shell guard and broke the Sahuagin assault, driving them away into smaller squads into the forests and marshes around. One Sahuagin, a champion in their ranks, managed to escape. However, taking his small squad and a group of 5 captives and piercing through the defenses that held the Sendine River. This means that this champion escaped the turtles, but is now forced to take a longer path back to the sea. But he has captives, and he is on his way to their territory. Meanwhile, Galt Shavok traveled down the pools to the Golden Bay, where he delivered the news of the attack and requested reinforcements. The Sahuagin have not entered a full retreat and continue to skirmish with the Shell Guard amidst the back room of the pools. Master Shavok worried that without backup, the Sahuagin could themselves rally and manage to take even more lives, take more captives, more of them breaking through their lines and escaping. In a moment of disagreement with Blanche, Jean ordered Shavok to the larger battle to lead the Shell Guard reinforcements into the best possible positions. He then offered up our party, Blanche, Chester, Jules, and Jean himself, as a potential strike force to catch up with the champion and free the captives. There was some contention following this between our Blade Singer and her pupil. We're going to push a little farther in time. Those forces off in the Golden Bay, whatever units could be spared, have left, leaving a shell of what military force used to be here, until Harlan Burnshadow and the Silent Verse arrived to bolster their ranks against any potential Sahuagin attacks here as well. But there are reinforcements going. Galshavok has led them. They are pushing out now, and perhaps you can even look out to the bay and you see a number of mantas filing away, swiftly moving around the coast, around the bay, towards the rivers that lead up the pools. I have a map of this too. I'll go over that a little later. Where we're going to open this is upon the stables that stand at the edge of the bay, perhaps on like one sort of wing of the mouth where it opens into the sea. We see this long, almost barn-like building, stone built, that lines along the coast, a number of gates kind of opening out into the water from there, and this is where the mantas of the royal family and their guard are kept. The primo stable, manta stable. I'm going to say that here we see Jules, Jean, and Chester are waiting just outside on a dock nearby, as Blanche Trudeau is overseeing the saddling and quick maintenance checking of the mantas that are to go on this journey. Now, I will ask this. How many do you intend to take? Blanche and Jean are trained in this. They can ride these things. They know how to handle them. Are you going to take two and take two passengers on each one? Or do you want to take four, potentially have, these are war-bred mantas. They know to follow the ones that are like the designated charge leaders. I think it would be possible to take four mantas total, give Jules and Chester their own. They won't really be able to control them very well, but they'll be able to just like follow along.
Okay. I mean, that makes the most sense, right?
Probably.
Take four.
Probably.
If you're separated, that's where it can get a little risky. I'll have to have animal handling checks, or these things could go a little out of control.
If Jules or Chester's manta are separated from either Blanche or Jean's manta, you mean, right?
Yes, yeah.
So if we stay in that two-and-two formation, at least, I mean, hopefully we won't get separated, but judging by that comment, maybe it'll happen.
There's risk. There's always a risk.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best go.
Okay. Blanche is saddling four mantas, taking care of matters inside very quickly, but in this brief moment, the party is split up. Jules, you have noted that ever since the meeting and all the way down, you know, on this trek down here, as this Blanche was firing off orders to whoever she could see, Jean pretty much doing the same, they did not talk to each other. They did not look at each other. They had very little to do with each other. There's an obvious tension there. As Blanche moves away and steps out, Jean stands by her side, very quiet, until he finally just... I suppose we should talk about all this, Jules. You realize when this is done, I have to stay here in the Golden Bay.
You do what you know in your heart to be the right thing to do, and I got your back.
What I know. Damn. If only it was so simple. Father has done something terrible to Blanche and possibly to you, both of you. Jesuit Chester as well looks up, curious. It's too much to discuss in our current situation. I do not wish to overstep on Sir again, but Ozen Ushikatsu had sent a letter to her, asking for help in stopping a great tragedy. Father replied in her stead, declining his request, and soon after, Tythos fell. This is why he stepped down and why I must take his place. It's hard to explain, but honor is the lifeblood of us Tortles. Our base god, Kundarala, watches us from the ocean floor, judges us. Every year she gifts us with the golden tides and the bountiful harvest that follows them.
Jean.
Jules, we need these gifts to trade with Zinda, to feed our people, to arm ourselves against our enemies.
Jean, you don't have to explain yourself. You do what's right.
All right. Then I must stay. I believe if I had not come back, Kundarala would not have sent the golden tides this year. Father had... He has overstepped his place. He has shattered our honor. And so I cannot say no to this. It would dishonor my house, the entire bay, if a new Montelio does not rule. My people will see great misfortune should Kundarala be displeased. It's so funny. I've spent so much time fretting over my choices, over doing what is right, only to have Father strip our choice away from me in the end.
You've always known what's right. Embrace it.
Have I? When I saw the letter, Jules, I took it for myself. I ran from Sir. I tried to hide it.
You were scared.
It was still wrong. I hurt her, too. In a time when she needed me. Damn it.
You guys would be okay.
Maybe. He turns away from you here, kind of looking out towards the sea. Kind of feel like something catches in his voice. He tries to say the next bit. I think Blanche will not be staying here with us after all of this. Please, keep an eye on her for me. Sir can certainly handle herself, but I think she'll need a friend going forward. And you're the best friend I know, Jules. Please, make sure she's all right.
Of course. Of course.
Just like this long moment.
And then, after the long moment, Jules turns his head out to the bay. I am going to go farther than a bed at the pale moonlight, though. And if you're staying here, you can't do shit about it.
No, no. I'm going to miss the pale moonlight so much.
Jules looks back over, gives Jean a playful nudge, and pulls him in for a hug. Shut the fuck up.
His arms wrap around you tight.
You're one of my best friends.
I'm getting in on this. Hey, come here. I'm in. You too, Jules. You changed me. Thank you.
And you me.
I think we hear sound of swishing waves as around the edge of the this dock, around like, you know, coming out from one of these gates, we see four manta rays in formation. Blanche riding atop one at the start, a little saddle hanging on, sitting on a saddle, maybe standing upon it, with these sort of foot rests, big leather, what do you call that thing?
Pommel?
Reins?
Reins, I like rains. That one. Leather reins kind of in her hand as she's weaving away, turning it towards you. I think Jean's eyes brighten as he looks over. Ronalda! Oh, it's been so long! You see this snowy white manta. You get the reference, they don't.
Yeah.
It's a snowy white manta ray sort of slides up before him, and he just kind of like squeeze with some glee. Then, it's good to see you, girl. The manta kind of reaches down, sort of pets it as it reaches the edge of the dock. I'll ask, Blanche, your manta, the manta of the Master Defense, must be another pretty special one. Does it have a name? Does it have any unique characteristics?
Yeah. I'm going to guess that defending the Golden Bay from these Sahagin whatever has taken a toll on Blanche's manta. He's been scarred, chewed up, and spit out. And that's how he got his name, Chew.
Chew? Ronaldo and Chew, and somehow that just feels so right. A couple of standard, cool gray mantas slide up behind.
Ooh, so is Chew's gonna ride Chew?
Don't even. You get your own manta. Doesn't get a name, because it's just a manta.
That's Manta 4.
Manta 4.
Chester, you've got Manta 6.
Why didn't we get, like, you know, like...
Manta 5 is out.
All right, that makes sense. Hey.
He's defending the 8th pool.
That makes sense. Hey, no. He's probably good at that. Everyone sort of climbs on. It's probably a very strange feeling, Jules and Chester. These can slide over, and you're kind of like slowly stepping out under their kind of wide bodies and, you know, moving over this sort of slippery skin. These things are huge. Like, it's gigantic, probably like, I don't know, 10 feet wide sort of thing. As you're kind of moving into the center of their back, sitting on, as you're standing up on the saddle, grabbing the reins. Just a really weird feeling as they kind of move within the water, but they're trained well, and they don't jerk. They don't try to toss you off or anything. They're gentle creatures.
I think Jules, he just comes up to it first and just stands there and stares for a minute. He's nervous, but then I think he just tries to play it cool and just struts right on.
Yo, Jules, can I misty step onto him? That'd be pretty cool, right?
Don't waste a spell slot, Chester.
Right, fine, all right. Don't waste a slot. Damn it. Just climbs
you
on.
You can't use anything except for in combat.
It's all about preserving resources, Chester.
All right, yeah, I get it. And just climbs on.
Clearly not, because that's like the fourth time you've asked.
That's just really cool, man.
Yeah, I know.
I can teleport once a day.
It's even cooler in the fight.
I almost wish I couldn't teleport. Once a day is too little.
Blanche is in, like, special operations mode, and she puts on her goggles of night.
Holy hell. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Eyes of Minute Seeing can go in the bag for a little while.
I forgot. It's dark. It's quite dark.
Ruh-roh.
Never
mind. Forget I said any
point.
Of that.
You're staring out into the night sky. You guys jump onto your mantas.
I'm cutting it. It's not night.
We didn't remember that. Sean doesn't have dark vision or anything.
Oh, that's going to be great.
We leave at dawn.
God, they're sacrificed. Where are you even going? Hop on your mantas, you begin to slide out. You see Jean, Blanche, kind of, I imagine you're in a form, you know, sort of square formation, Jean and Blanche in the front, Chester and Jules in the back on mantas 4 and 6. And you push into the bay. Now, I should mention that the luminescent algae still coats the top of the water. It still shimmers with golden light as you glide across it. Though blood and danger await at the end of this short journey, you find yourself swept away in a surreal beauty. Stars shining above radiant waves. You're just lost in this moment of transcendence.
That's how we get away with not needing dark vision.
I'm also thinking it would be really cool if we had, like, a painter with us that could paint Jules against the night sky.
The Midnight Prince at midnight.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Gosh.
Yeah.
This would be a scene to see. Oh.
Dude, the Midnight Prince at Midnight is such an emo band name.
Midnight Prince at Midnight. Yep. That's going to be my side project.
Yeah, there you go.
The beautiful sad part's over now. Now it's scary time for scary music. Shut up.
Scary podcast. Guys.
Scary podcast. You come.
Turn the lights out.
Soon enough to the open mouth of the Golden Bay where the algae abruptly cuts off, leaving you pushing over waves that feel just bleakly dark. The blackness of the ocean at night has never felt more apparent as you leave the golden waves behind. But you push on to the west, shooting out into the sea from the edge of the Golden Bay. You will need to travel nearly 14 miles to reach the Sahuagin territory. It might not be night when you get there. Let's say the tournament ended at sunset as the sky was deeply red. Our scenes that followed pretty much happened right afterwards as night set very early. So we're going to call it about 9 o'clock as you're hitting this sort of edge of the bay moving out, right? I think that works. 14 miles. I say a manta could probably go about 2 miles an hour, so we're going to say about 7 hours
okay.
to reach your goal, if that's your goal. We'll get to that. We'll get to that now, because the Sahuagin territory does not need to be your destination. You have some options here. You can try to cut the Sahuagin off at the mouth of the Sendine River. If they already reach the open sea, though, it'll be much more difficult to catch them. They'll have the luxury of traveling underwater. The turtles will need to surface at least once an hour to be kept alive, but it'll be hard to catch those brief windows where your foes do actually appear. But the Sahuagin territory is rimmed by a ring of shallow water, with many spires of stone protruding from the sea. Here, they'll be more noticeable as they try to pass. You know the direction they are traveling from, If you beat them to their territory, to this rim, and wait in ambush, you may yet catch them. This will be the most sure way to find them, but also the most dangerous, as you'll be committing to a battle just outside their kingdom. In the midst of this shallow ring, the water becomes much deeper, and the Maw of Garniax, known to the Tortles as simply the Maw, rests at the bottom. That's where they're bringing the people. That's where shit's going down. There's going to be scouts circling the perimeter. You know there will be. Many more warriors lingering just inside. Hopefully, the Sahagin forces at the Master Defense Shavok, Offense Shavok, and the Shell Guard are skirmishing with the Eighth Pool has pulled away enough of the Sahagin forces that you'll be able to escape without notice. I say that word different every single time. It's so hard. It's a weird word. Perhaps you could find a way to catch Sahagin on the open sea, far from both of your territories, but they will likely travel beneath the surface if they can. It'll be very difficult to spot them. Maybe you could find a way to grab their attention to lure them into a trap? I don't know. The beauty of it is, I don't have to know, because this is not my story. It's yours. How do you want to play it?
Okay, so on the map, it's basically a triangle between the Golden Bay, the mouth of the Sendine River, and the Maw.
Yeah.
We can travel from the Golden Bay up to the Sendine to try to cut them off at the mouth.
It's very unlikely unless you can find a way to get real fast to get up there. It's okay. A long journey for you, and it's possible, though.
Yeah, so then we're chasing them through open water.
And they could be beneath you without you knowing it, unless you have scouts, a way to scout in the deep sea beneath you.
Right.
What about if we kind of do a middle ground thing and try and meet them further out from the Maw, kind of in the middle?
Well, of the then water it's there. Like then it's like finding a needle in a haystack.
That's true.
We got some magic users here. You guys got any cool magic that help you find that needle?
Oh yeah, I got the spell of find anybody within a 14-mile radius.
I mean,
there's probably a spell for that.
there's something kind of sort of. I put into the ring of spell storage that Jean has locate object.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Let me pull up locate object so I can read it and not get it wrong. Describe or name an object that's familiar to you. You sense the direction of the object's location as long as that object's within 1,000 feet of you. If the object is in motion, you know the direction of its movement. A spell can locate a specific object known to you as long as you have seen it up close within 30 feet at least once. Alternatively, the spell can locate the nearest object of a particular kind, such as a certain kind of apparel, jewelry, furniture, tool, or weapon. The spell can't locate an object if any thickness of lead, even thin sheet, blocks direct path between you and the object, blah, blah, blah. They always put lead in the spells. Are these dungeons, like, lead-lined?
Probably are.
There's always something about
lead. Some lich somewhere is like, oh, they're not getting me with locate object. Right. No way.
Yeah, I've got a lead-lined sarcophagus. So I was hoping to, like, save that in my back pocket, but I feel like it's such a big part of our planning.
That's pretty damn cool. You know, it's only within 1,000 feet, right?
1,000 feet.
So it's a detector.
Yeah, that's almost a quarter mile. Big.
Yeah, yeah. If you're above them, you'll... I mean, if they need to surface regularly, they're not going to want to go too deep. They got to keep those turtles alive. They want them dead when they want them dead, and no time earlier.
It's also a matter of figuring out, actually, if we get to that point, if we're actually ahead of them or behind them.
Right.
Because chances are we're going to have to go a direction when we get to around that area.
Let me ask this. Do you know of an object you could locate?
I mean, I'm going to guess that, you know, fighting them however often the Tortles fight the Sahagin, they'll at least know something of their apparel, jewelry, tools, or weapons.
Oh, I should make you roll for this, but that's a pretty good point.
I mean, they have a history of fighting each other.
That's a really... you've been leading these fights.
Right.
Okay.
Well, Jean has not, because the Ring of Spell Storage... I mean, Blanche could take it. Well, but then she'd have to attune to it. But I'm still sure that Jean knows what their weapons are like.
Yeah, Jean would be aware.
It's probably one hanging on the wall somewhere.
You know,
trophy
that
of war.
A champion has it leads this group, and you would know the champions of the Sahagin are like their most powerful fighters. Very likely, this one would wear armor, crafted from like interwoven clamshells, almost making a scale mail of sorts. It would wield a spear, probably topped by a very like a reinforced and sharpened conch with a ch.
Did we ever? We never confirmed that.
And I'm 110% positive that it's conch.
I just don't think so. I think it's conch.
It's not.
You want to run this game?
It's conch.
I'll conk you on the head. Anyway. You could use locate object to find these things. You feel pretty certain. You could locate this champion. You know their ranks enough. You know. So with that in mind, what's your plan?
Conch shell.
It's conch shell.
Wait, what did it say?
Then movies and books that I've read... Or movies from books that I've read.
Did you say books? Books always
I've
say
I've only
wrong.
Ever read the word.
That's too good. You can't. No. I was just like, ridiculous.
The power's gone to his head.
Nope. There's there's a specific movie that I remember watching. I don't remember the name of it. In school. Where it was conch.
Don't worry. In this world, the Golden Bay, it's conch.
Sorry, I'm erasing this from Fantasy Pants Universe. All of it. All talk of conch.
No. I'll conk you on the head. Where are you buzz nuts going?
Who do you think, Jeremy? That gotcha? Buzz nuts?
You know what? You know what? Fuck you, Steven. Take a button, Jeremy. That was funny.
What?
That was funny. You get a button, Steven doesn't. Yeah.
What? Because I know how to say conk?
No, because Jeremy laughed at my joke.
You said buzz nuts.
I'm petty tonight. I don't give a shit.
Buzz nuts.
I'll take it.
Oh, my God.
I don't like the idea of trying to head them off at the outlet.
I don't either, but I like the idea of going to the mall less.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm wondering, if we should just try and go in between.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, but then we're in open ocean.
But open ocean means there's not likely to be scouts from them.
That's my main thing for going in there, is we might be out of the range of all the scouts.
It's hardest to find, though, but if you have a magical way of potentially fixing that, you know their route.
Mm-hmm.
You could try to ambush them somewhere along the route you expect them to take. You have a quarter mile range when you decide to cast the spell. You could math it out, try to get the right timing.
For 10 minutes, sure.
10 minutes is rough, but like, hey, I mean,
so we're at least in agreement that we're not going to the mall.
I would rather not go to the mall.
Same.
Shit.
It's tough. 10 minutes is going to be, there's going to be a die roll about it. It's going to be a fortune die.
Well, yeah. And then like, what happens when that doesn't go well? And then we blow the spell and we sit there for 10 minutes and we're like, oh man, nobody showed up. Okay, I guess let's go to the maw. And we get to the maw.
And we're too late.
And they've already passed through that outer perimeter. Yeah. And then they're on Spike's dead.
I will say, you'll be faster than them. They have prisoners. It's going to slow them down. You're a small squad of badass manta rays. If you do pass them, you could probably catch them up and pass them again.
Okay.
Wait, they could be underneath you at any time.
Did you say we could catch up to them? You just said we could catch up to them?
If you could catch up to them. If you hit them in the middle, you would assume turn and try to catch them if you missed them by using detect.
Yeah, but we wouldn't know that we missed them.
Yeah, it's right. I mean, again, it's going to be a lot of risk.
I'm just saying the fact that we could catch up means we could probably go to the outlet, and then if we don't catch them there, we can catch up to them on the water, potentially before the maw.
If something slowed them down, it's possible you can catch them right in the river outlet.
If something slowed them down.
Again, it's going to be another... Basically, whatever you're going to do, there's going to be fortune die rolls. And then get a little more difficult depending on where you decide to head them off.
I'm just saying... What you do. If we go to the outlet, we can still catch up to them if we missed them.
Yeah. All right. We've been doing this for way too long.
The chance of us catching them before the maw is probably pretty decent.
Right.
I can't imagine we miss them by that much.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the mouth of the Sendine River.
Okay, the edge of the Golden Bay. That is 12 miles, just about.
So 6 hours by Manta?
Probably 12 miles. Sometimes the miles thing on Roll20 can get a little weird when you go diagonals, but...
Right.
Yeah, I'll say about 6 hours. Now, they would have gotten a decent head start. They got away, Gulshabuck heard the news, he came to you, you suited up, you went that way. But again, they have prisoners. They escaped a bloody battle. A lot of stuff likely is going wrong. The Sendine's not an easy place to move through, especially with a fucking shark. Which, I will say, your reports tell you, they have a shark. It's how they're pulling prisoners away. Okay. And you blast into the sea, along the coast, shooting across the rivers that lead to the pools, across the sandy beaches, towards the mouth of the Sendine River. I'll ask during your journey, is there any conversation?
My initial thought to that is no.
Yeah, Blanche isn't in a particularly chatty mood.
Yeah.
I realize that makes for bad roleplay.
No, this is fine.
Well, I mean, I think, and Jules is the same too. I think they both have the same mindset in this, in that they're on a fucking mission and they're going.
Yeah.
And that's it. And Chester follows whatever Jules does. He's picked up on a lot of his mannerisms, and I think he's the same.
Yeah, he knows when it's time to... He doesn't like to shut up, but he knows when it's time to shut up.
Yep.
And Jean, I think, looks more regal than you've ever seen him before, staring forth, mouth set. I think you see him looks... He glances towards Blanche a lot, like he wants so badly to say something, but knows this is not the time. There may never be a time.
I want a character image of this.
Yeah, for real.
Four manta rays... going across the ocean on the night sky.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Who wants to roll me a D100?
I did the last one, and it didn't fit through the guns of heaven.
I can roll.
Before you roll this, is there anything you can do to increase the speed of your mantas, or will it take the 6 hours to reach?
Increase the speed of the mantas.
You might not have anything in your pocket. Just curious. This is catching them here is a speed game. Other places is a different, you know, it's going to require different things, but this is all about getting there before they do.
No, I don't think I have anything that will get us there faster, unfortunately.
Okay.
God, this. Okay. Do you have any specific numbers in mind for this that you're going to share, or am I just going to roll it and you're going to.
You need a 16 or higher.
Oh, okay.
16. No, sorry. Sorry, you need a 15 or lower. My bad.
15,
what?
Well, I'm going to do it that way. I'm thinking of me as the... No, what? No. You need an 86 or higher. 15% chance.
Holy
of
shit.
Of catching them or of missing them?
To catch them at the river.
Holy shit.
At the mouth of the river. It's a long shot. But it doesn't mean you failed. You can still turn around and catch up to them. That's possible, too.
Okay, but are they going to... How are we going to know that we missed them?
Yeah.
Good point.
Also, you little devil, not divulging this information before we made the decision.
I told you it was a slim chance. It was a rough one.
15% is really fucking slim.
Yeah, slim.
Okay, I mean...
Fuck.
They gotta make calls. Maybe they didn't get there already. Maybe they're still coming.
Shit, that's very slim.
Yeah. I'll roll about that myself.
Yeah.
All right, I guess let's see what happens.
Holy
dude.
What?
It's an 85.
What'd I say? 86 or
86.
Higher? 86. Oh, no! I said 86 or higher, didn't I? That is amazing! That is amazing!
All right. I didn't think we were going to get it anyways.
No. I'm going to give you something here, actually. I think that's cool. You reach the river itself. You reach the mouth where it meets the open sea. What?
Wait.
What madness do you have in mind?
You said 86, but then you said 15% chance.
Yes, right?
Isn't that 85?
I think because 100 counts, it's 86. Shit, this is important. Figure it out.
I'm pretty sure 85. I'm pretty sure that's 15% of them. Pretty sure.
Right, 100 minus. The thing is, it's 0 through 100.
Is it?
So that's, right?
I don't think there's a 0 on that.
Yeah, there is.
If there's a 0, then that would be 15%. If there's a 1, then it would not be. Wait, I don't know.
I think if...
I'm just pause it for like a second.
Yeah, pause the shit. Give me a second. We'll figure this out. Are we called wizards? We called Harvard? We called everyone. We called NASA.
Oh, hold on. Actually, MIT's returning my call right now. I just got the voicemail at first, and they were like, they're saying, hey, you're stupid. There's not a 0 on a D100.
How dare you?
I don't know why I thought there was a 0 on that.
I mean, I even said...
That's a legit thing.
I don't know why I said 86.
You're too kind, Jeremy. You're too kind.
Because you're right. Like, I said 15 or lower gets you the 15%. And I don't know why, but the opposite of that was like 86 or higher. That's 14%. You're right. That is 14%. I'm dumb. Unless I'm not dumb, and I was right the first time, and now I'm dumb.
Well, then we just all sound dumb, and then fine. We're in this together. Great.
I had meant for it to be 15%.
Editor Jeremy here. This time I brought the guys with me, Steven and David, both here. David, what's up?
All right, pants people, just, we know, okay, we know. 86 or higher is 15%, 85 or higher is 16%. We know, we figured it out. Our dumbasses eventually came to, NASA did us wrong. NASA threw us off.
We went to the wrong people.
Well, that's the thing. We went back to the drawing board. We consulted a couple of fourth graders and they helped us figure it out.
Oh no. Oh, so yeah, we're stupid. We're really
we're twice big stupid.
We're twice it's big pretty bad. Stupid. I hope you're still listening. Obviously, we're proceeding as if they'd passed the roll because we did already, you know, this is two episodes later we're recording this because that's how long it took us to figure out
how stupid we actually were.
So yeah.
But I think it's been fun, you know, the falling out of this.
I just want to get
what happens next is fun.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun.
It's good.
It's terrifying, but it's very fun.
The most important thing, though,
don't add us. We know.
Guys, we learned something.
Yes.
We learned something.
What did we learn?
We're idiots.
Yeah, and we're never.
Oh, I knew that.
Ever.
I knew that.
Rolling percentile die again. Back to the show.
I was just gonna walk away from it because I was like, oh yeah, you know, with the zero, it's like the roulette wheel, you know what I mean? It's like it's always in favor of the house. Like
your house got an 85 actually.
That's crazy. The odds of this scenario happening.
Oh my gosh.
It's about fucking wild.
It's about 15%.
No, it's 1% actually, because it's the number. You fool.
All right, I'm back.
I cannot believe that this happened. Utterly shocking to me. 15%, I thought, no way.
I was sitting there, man, I feel like we already made a decision, but man, this is some bullshit. Being like, okay, you got a 15% chance. I was like, all right, well, let's just fail this and then figure out how we're going to catch up or something. So I certainly was not expecting that.
You are gliding along the coast. As you get close to the Sendai, you stay a little closer to it. I think at this point, the sandy beach is gone. You're kind of moving along sort of a rocky sort of cliff ridge as the terrain beside you begins to rise and rise up. Where the Sendine sort of carves its niche into it. Around the corner ahead, you're looking out. You can see where the water funnels out into the open sea. You're staying close to the cliffs. You're staying tight. So they don't see you when you see them.
Oh, my God.
They are just jutting out of the river. You see your foes.
I think as we're approaching, Blanche keeps looking off to the right. She's looking out to the open ocean. I don't think Blanche thinks that we're going to catch them at the mouth.
Yeah.
I think she's like, this is the first place we need to go, but then we need to find evidence that they already passed through and we got to chase them down.
Dude, if you went to the mall, you'd be waiting for hours.
Right, exactly.
You wouldn't caught by every scout they had. Like, they must have, you realized so something had to have happened. They had to have, like, come across some fallen tree, something went wrong. But, like, there's a chance. You knew the Sendine. You're thinking about the Sendine right now, this time of year. It's rough. You know, we haven't sent the workers out to, like, clear it up yet. And the Sahagin probably don't know that. So as they're going down, like, maybe you had this in mind. Or you're factoring this into your strategy. Like, oh, they'll slow down significantly.
There's a
maybe.
Chance, but just a chance.
Holy shit.
So let's talk brass tacks here. What's their setup look like?
Let me describe. See a lot of things as you look out from your kind of obscured place of approach amongst the cliffside. You see, as before they dive into the water, they're still kind of staying up top. They haven't really moved to go down yet. And so you see five turtles tied hand and foot, connected in a line, gagged and blindfolded and pulled along by a 12-foot-long hunter shark under the champion's command. You see that six Sahagin surround them in a fish-shaped formation, three in the back arranged like a tail fin, two in the side, like a side fin.
Nice.
Yeah. At the head of the line, sort of leading, riding atop the shark, actually, is the champion. So Huagen, I should say, are green-scaled piscine humanoids with hungry mouths filled with rows of razor-sharp teeth. Fins run down their back and jut out from their faces and arms and long tails. Though generally scantily clad, they do tend to armor themselves with reinforced shells. Most wear pauldrons fashioned from a sharpened conch. 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 Shut up, Steven. You can see that the champion wears a full set of armor, woven together clamshells, as I said before, as a form of scale mail, a battle skirt of seaweed and long spiraling shells. He looks to be male, with a hulking figure and a long, deadly, shell-made spear. You have tussled with these foes before, Blanche. Probably many times. I think you've maybe faced a Hagen champion full melee a couple times before, but I don't think you've ever fully defeated them. They've battled to draws, they've been quick attacks during larger confrontations. You know that they are a brutal society, this Ohagen, driven by bloodlust and only holding respect for strength and viciousness. Their champions are few in number, and they are the very best hunters of their ranks. Many years ago, before your time as a master defense, Jean's mother fell to one of their spears. She was a warrior of great honor and renown, yet even she could not hold up against one of their ilk. Incidentally, and side note, that particular champion, now known as Baroness Tyralia, now rules over the Sahagin as a whole. Following that victory over the Totals, that pristine sacrifice that was made. You see these foes now, slowly moving away from you. You're caught by their rear. They don't notice you yet. They may get closer, but you may be able to get the jump on them. How do you want to proceed? I will say they are about 100 feet off the river, moving away. Soon they'll probably dive down and they'll be harder to keep up with them. At least harder to catch them. But right now, because you rolled a fucking 85.
Can we like reflect real fast on how stupid that whole thing was?
It's amazing.
Everyone who can count to 100 has already stopped listening.
Yeah, no, we lost everyone. They're like, you know what? David's right. There are too many D&D podcasts. This one, not worth my time.
Doesn't have a solid control on percentiles. I'm out.
Yeah, I mean, it's what you look for. It's the first thing you look for.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So how much distance is between the hostages and the Sahagin?
Let me answer your question. With a new map.
Okay, map. There we go.
Ooh,
sweet.
Okay.
Wow. So much detail.
I should mention this is not drawn by Rochelle.
I mean, it's just a blue.
It's just blue. So just I was blue. Like, I can handle this, and it still looks like shit somehow.
Oh, that's...
You see what I mean?
Yeah, that's very...
The turtles tied in a line, attached to the tail fin of the shark. The Sahagin are fully surrounding them.
They're like in the center.
I hate that.
Yeah, that's pretty not great.
It's a bad situation. Now, you know, the Sahagin aren't like other foes you fought. They're not going to be like, ooh, back away or we'll kill the turtles. They want these turtles alive.
Sure.
They'll want you alive if possible. Because the more they sacrifice, the better off they'll be. That's what they want.
Yeah, so if this formation is like a hangman stick figure, the hostages are like the body.
Ooh, good no.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
With three making the legs, two making the arms, and the shark and the champion making up the head.
So, my first quick thought with this is that we need to detach them from the shark.
Yeah. My first quick thought is to get rid of the three on the end. Because that's where we're coming from, basically below the legs, right? We're
right.
Behind them, you said?
Yes, you're behind.
We're behind
you'll
them?
Come
okay.
Right behind.
I think Blanche can do maybe some big damage there.
Okay.
An opening salvo.
Okay. What do you think about the possibility of Blanche doing that while somebody goes and jumps to, if they're able to get there, jump to the last turtle in the line? Because then that person can potentially go up the line.
And, like, disconnect them as they go
yes.
up the line?
Yes.
I'm thinking that we're probably...
Like, maybe an invisible Chester.
Oh, see, now you're talking with invisibility.
Yes.
All right.
But
question, though.
Can you make Chester and Amanda invisible? Because Chester can't swim that fast.
Right. That was my next question.
If we can get close enough, I can make Chester invisible and he can Misty Step.
Onto what?
Ooh.
Onto the turtle.
and just kind of ride the line.
Yeah, honestly, I figured that is so Ocean's 11. Invisible Chester standing on the back of this turtle reaches down, undoes, well, and like the hops, thing is, like leapfrogs up the line.
He'll start cutting.
So insane.
He'll
that it just
start
might
cutting
work.
When he gets to the second to the last turtle because he doesn't want to be stuck. You know, he'll go to the next turtle, cut behind him so that he still stays on.
Kind of like, oh, what was that movie? There was a movie.
Ocean's 11?
No. I don't know if it was called Everest, but like I remember I was traumatized by this opening scene. It was like a family, like a father and a couple of his younger daughter and son, and they were like ice climbing on Mount Everest or something like that. And it was the son and daughter in the front of the line.
The movie.
Then the father was the third, and then there were two guides behind them.
Yes.
And the line like started to break loose, and the daughter and son were holding onto the wall, and the father knew that he had to like, so he cut his line on top, you know, above him, and the three of them. And I was like, oh, I'm still.
Was that, that wasn't a vertical limit.
I don't, wasn't honestly.
I know which one you're talking about, though. I know exactly which one.
Roll for initiative!
Hey, David, what are these four things that appeared in the bottom corner?
I'm like slowly trying to build the map with mantis.
Oh, that's ours. Like, okay.
You're talking and I'm not like, Steven had a lot of things. I'm excited to re-listen to the episode so I can hear what he said. Because I'm building the map right now. I wasn't sure we were going to fight. So I wasn't sure if I was going to add spires to this thing, if I was going to add mantis to this thing. It's all improv-y, so just give me
Whenever you're ready.
All right.
And we're back. Yes, Steven, that was vertical limit.
Yeah, I saw the scene, and I'm either thinking of a different movie, or there's like a Mandela effect sort of thing going on, or I just created a false memory for myself.
No.
One of those three things.
I don't know. They have the opening scene that's not icy, but a lot of the rest of the movie is icy.
Yeah, but they're also...
I don't remember where they went to.
But there also weren't guides behind them in that scene that you're talking about, that you showed me. And I remember.
Maybe you're Mandela affecting it. Like, you just have a different memory. You're in a different timeline than all of us.
Yeah, probably.
Like, I don't remember anything about that movie except for things like that.
Mm.
Huh.
Anyways.
Let's kill these fish guys.
I'm still sitting back. My headphones were off until just now. I'm still doing stuff. Okay. Here's what's going to work. You are approaching from behind. I'll say when you get within, 40 feet of the scouts, they're likely going to notice you. Unless you can find a way to, like, hide yourselves. You could go underwater and, like, try to get close. You know, if you're going for long, Jules and Chester have got to hold their breath. But if they're above water right now, and they still are, you might be able to catch them that way. Once you get within those 40 feet, if you don't obscure yourselves in any way, shit goes down. We're going to roll for initiative. And they're going to notice you. Things are going to happen. Real quick, you have mounts in this combat. So let me explain what that's going to look like. On your turn... your mount will go on the turn. It shares a turn with you, right? You can decide if you want to go first. The mount can go first. They do have an attack. They have a move speed of 40 feet. They have 26 HP. I'll tell you that right now. 13 AC. These are not super tough, but they're just more made to get you around so you can get in close and strike. They have a charging sort of ram maneuver they can do. So if you run towards something and hit them with a ram attack in the same turn, they take extra damage. They just like to ram. They beat things up. So that's how it's going to go. Basically, when you get to go, you can decide if you want to go, they want to go. You move with them. You can jump off of them after they go, and you could get extra movement that way if you want to abandon your manta. For Jules and Chester, your mantas, as we said, are trained to follow the leads. So if you want to do something different, if your manta to go a different way, you're going to need to roll an animal handling check. Jean and Blanche have training on these things. Okay. They know their mounts. They don't need to roll that check, but you guys do. Otherwise, the manta will default to follow behind the one that's leading it. In Jules' case, it's going to be Blanche's. In Chester's case, it's going to be Jean's. Sidekicks stick together. Heroes stick together. That's what the mantas want. All right?
Okay.
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 You are crashing down the waves, pushing through quietly, quietly, moving up behind these Sahuagin. What do you want to do to kick things off?
Well, as we're moving up, Jules will get as close to Chester as he can, reach over, touch him, cast invisibility.
Okay.
And say, you know what to do.
All right. Yeah. Apples to apples. The old skinny. I'll figure it out.
Thanks, David. We know each other well enough. 99% of the situations, Chester knows what to do. So to confirm for the listeners, yes, he is going to go invisible, and then when we get close enough and in range, he's going to Misty Step onto the line of turtles, and while invisible, go up the line, cutting them loose.
Apples to apples.
Sure.
Hell yes. Chester's got his move in mind. Yeah, I'll say it's not going to proc the removal of invisibility. They could still potentially notice Chester because he's not going to be using hide actions each round, but it'll be hard for them to notice him. If you cause distraction, it might be impossible for them to notice him. So, okay. Chester vanishes. You get closer. Anything else?
I think that's it for right now because we're not within 30 feet, correct?
Not yet. Okay. Not until we start combat.
So that's it then.
Okay. Blanche, you're leading this thing. Jean looks to you. Doesn't say a word because this is not a time for speaking, but he nods to you. I think there's something in his eyes, this hope, this look of, we might not come back from this, sir. And he smiles.
Blanche is going to draw her sword. I don't know that I'm going to use it, but she's going to cast Blade Song anyways. And
ringing out over the waves.
And quietly, she'll say to Jean, soften them up in the back. You know what to do after that. Cut the reeds. You'll figure it out.
Yes, sir. We'll do this together. All of us. We're... Smiles. We're unstoppable, aren't we?
She's gonna...
Can I get a button?
No,
screw Damn it.
She's gonna put her... She's gonna drop her reins... and adjust her position and raise her arms out in front of her, and in response to John, she'll say,
well, that remains to be seen, but luckily we have some element of surprise here.
And the water beneath those back three, Sahagin,
what?
Begin to bubble.
What?
Oh, what?
What?
And a tidal wave rises up.
Oh.
As Blanche casts Tidal Wave.
Holy fuck.
A wave of water crashes down on an area within range. The area can be up to 30 feet long, 10 feet wide, blah, blah, blah. I need those three to make a dexterity saving throw.
Holy shit.
That is... Okay. Okay. That is amazing. Let's do this thing. Three rolls. All dex. That's me. I'm guessing two fails and a pass. 94, 98, 90, 18.
Oh, yeah. I thought you said 94, 90.
Yeah, no, I heard 90.
I was like, you're rolling the wrong die, sir.
You don't know what my monsters can do.
Yes, the 4 and the 8 both fail. The 18 passes.
Okay.
So the two failures will take 48 bludgeoning damage. The save will take half as much.
This is a new spell?
This is a new level 3 spell.
Damn!
And the two who failed will also be knocked prone. I don't know what that means in the water. Probably nothing.
I think it means nothing.
Not great rolls. 18 was the full damage.
Oh my god!
Wow. Yeah.
So 9 for the passer.
That's not great.
No, that was... I think a 5, a 4, a 3, and a 6.
You guys reached about
average-ish.
Where you put you on the map, you're about 40 feet behind this back line as glide in, you get in the spot, you reach out, the waves turn, screaming as this wave sort of come down upon these Sahagin, bludgeoning them. Two of them go sort of swirling off in the water, looking really bad. The one in the center kind of guards against it, spins around, sees you. Tortoise! Tortoise and humans! They are attacking us! And everyone turns your way. The shark in the front, the leader, turns towards you and faces you with a big, toothy grin. roll for initiative.
All right.
Oh, baby.
That was pretty much all I got. I'm not sure what I'm doing after this, so.
That was one hell of an opener. Like, you guys are doing amazing. Ooh. I thought I had more scouts than you guys. I did not think you'd catch them like this. This is ridiculous.
Natty 19 for nice. Blanche. So that's a 23 initiative.
Damn. Okay.
Plus zero for Jean, so that is an 8. Womp womp. Can you fix his hit points in...
Did you do Chester?
No, I haven't yet. I'm going to do Jules first.
Jules first.
Didn't go all the way through. Didn't go all the way through.
Need some heavier die there, my friend.
Borrow my die. They're pretty heavy.
Get your die away from me.
That's a 16 on the die, plus 1 for 17.
You guys are slaying it tonight.
Chester. Ooh, 18 for Chester.
That's really good. Okay.
I'm really glad because I wanted him to go high up.
Oh, I can't believe it worked out this way because I rolled a 21 on my champion here.
Oh, fuck.
And even that's not enough to keep up with Blanche Trudeau when she is on a fucking mission.
Hell yeah.
Waves crash down. He turns back and smiles, and then a little bit of spike of fear enters his eyes as he sees Blanche Trudeau already blasting towards him in the moment. What are you doing? It's very Jawsy, isn't it? The song.
That's why I like
this
one a lot.
It's like the sharks. Yeah. The shark
absolutely.
People. Like it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love it.
Blanche is going to move up within, I want to get within 15 feet of this first Sahagin here.
That one looks bad.
Okay, that's 20. Ooh, a pinch more. And I'm just going to go a little basic here. We're going to cast a cantrip, Lightning Lore.
Ooh, okay.
So I need a strength save from you, or you'll be pulled 10 feet in a straight line towards me.
Oh, gnarly. All right. Ooh, that is going to be a 18 on that.
Ooh, that is a pass. So I don't think anything happens.
No damage?
No damage. Oh, God.
You have okay, a strong, but they're ready for you now.
Yeah.
You come in, you blast out. This guy just kind of holds against it, does not get pulled, does not take damage. Lightning whip kind of hits him, and he yanks it away.
Crap. Okay. All right, I'm going to have to rethink a bit of this strategy. So that's it for Blanche, actually.
It's my turn now. With 80 feet of movement, my shark is going to double... Yeah, gotta do the double move. Double move up to get just outside of your range, Blanche.
Yikes.
All right.
Yikes.
This just blasts through the line. Blast past towards, moves up to you, and stops.
I do have a question about this, and I hate this because this could only work out bad for us. But if he's attached to the front turtle.
All right. Good thought. They're coming with him.
Dude,
you know what?
You're so good. Because I just like assumed that like he was just like, oh, I'm going to let go of this. And I wasn't even like, I was just going to let it happen.
No, you know what?
Dude.
I like this a lot.
I hate it because that doesn't work in our favor at all. But.
I'm going to do this because I also don't like that for me because I want to move all these tokens on the map 100 times. And honestly, this is going to slow this guy down. He doesn't want these guys on his shark when he's going to battle.
Ah, he has to use an attack action
to cut
the line.
I'm
going to
use one of my three attacks to slice through the line.
All right.
Okay.
Three attacks. You heard that right,
yeah,
Jeremy.
Yeah.
You heard that correctly.
Oh, boy.
And this thing whips around and moves towards you, sails across, kind of standing upon it. This soggy looks, you're looking all cocky. How brave of you. I am Spearmaster Malar, champion of the Maw of Garniax. I must say I am impressed for you to have delivered yourself so kindly to my god. He just smiles, leaps off of the shark. He's going to drop down right next to you in the water. He does not need that. You know what? He's going to jump. That should be easily within my range of jumping to get onto your manta ray.
Right.
Fuck.
Yeah, he just jumps off. You know what? I'll do a slippery mantle, right? I'll do a quick athletics check.
Your name won't soon matter, as it will soon be forgotten.
Ooh, that was good.
Thanks.
That was good. David, button.
I wasn't paying attention. I didn't hear what you said.
I was, trust me.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. I'm not going to give you a button, though. I'll tell you why. Because you have a different reward of sorts coming. You say this to him, and he just kind of frowns. Is that so? Let's see who's forgotten when I... He leaps over, lands upon your manta, spear slides out. The tail goes out with a natural one on his...
Oh my god!
He slips off the mantle. Splashed into the water.
He's prone on the manta.
He's prone on the manta. He falls into the manta.
I wasn't hoping for it, but I'll take it.
He just looks up at you and just like, oh, fuck. And we'll call it there.